Well, friends, I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am and humbled and grateful that this day has finally come, that we get to begin a new day together in the life of Cox Chapel. This space has seen a lot of new days. The first began in 1951 with the completion of this beautiful chapel with its glorious stained glass windows reflecting the symbolic elements of ancient worship spaces. With that in mind, it's hard to believe that this space was built with youth gatherings in mind. This was the contemporary space that allowed for experimentation and creativity in worship, and it was a new day that would provide Highland Park United Methodist Church, not just youth, with new styles of worship, surrounded by the traditions and the symbols of the past. For instance, I hope you'll take a look with me. The star in the center of our beautiful rose window is symbolic of the Star of Bethlehem, and it's 5 points, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Its inner circle, as well as the outer circle of the shape itself of the rose window, is symbolic of eternal life. And inside the middle circle, you'll see a cross with 4 equal-sized arms. That represents not only the risen Christ and his sacrificial love for us, but those equal-length arms are a visible reminder to us that we, as the church, are to carry the good news of the gospel into the 4 corners of the earth. So since 1951, there have been over 10 new variations of worship begun in this space, led by more than 50 clergy, and all of those services were designed to nurture and to inspire the body of Christ, to praise God so that we would go into the world to be the body of Christ for others. In 1971, Cox Chapel made history as its leaders experimented with and developed a new communion liturgy that was adopted into the United Methodist Book of Worship. That is the liturgy that we and United Methodists around the globe use today. This is an important space. This is an important space. However, the continuous core of Cox Chapel worship has been the 8:30 Sunday worship service, also began in 1951. There has been a worship service in this space at this time continuously for the last 68 years. Cox Chapel has seen a lot of new days. And as we begin this one together, we might ask ourselves, how do we successfully move into the future, remaining true to our call to take the good news into a polarized, vitriolic, and violent world that's in desperate need of good news today and good news right now? How do we begin this new day together? Well, if you are a student of any age, if you from elementary to middle school to high school, if you are attending college or a grad student, or if you are a teacher, would you raise your hand? Anybody starting classes in the last few weeks? A few. Okay, great. How about, are you a parent of any of those? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, great. Well, as a former high school teacher, I always loved living on an academic schedule. Each school year brought a very sharp end in May and a brand new beginning in August. And the new school year gives students and teachers and parents alike the opportunity for a fresh start. Isn't that nice? To exchange less than good habits from the past with perhaps better ones that will ensure success for the new year. And what I find interesting is that the secret to success in school for students or parents or really for any of us in our day-to-day lives is not really a secret at all, is it? My guess is that many of you, whether you're students or you're parents of students or you are professors or teachers, have heard or given lectures over the last couple of weeks on how to continue to be a good student. Anybody heard that? One of the first things you'll hear is, first, you need to show up. Go to class every day it's amazing how much you learn just by being with and engaging and being present and engaging with other people in your class. Turn in your assignments on time. Don't neglect to review your notes often. And when things become challenging or difficult, and they always will, right? We all know that. They always will. Don't give up. You hear this, do it. Ask your teachers for help. Go to your teachers. Push through. Study with a group of people who are smarter than you. I always did that in grad school. People that you can imitate. The continuity of good habits leads to success. It's the old tried and true methods that help us launch and continue new ways of living and being. And that's as true for our faith journey as it is for our academic journey. It's best to begin new days and new ways and new chapters in our life through old ways and tried ways. Our scripture reading from this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, and it's addressed to a community that's hoping for a new day in their lives. They are a congregation of second-generation Christians, probably living in Rome, and the extraordinary number of Old Testament references in this book, along with the depth of its theological arguments, suggest that this community has been steeped well in the history and the traditions of the faith by their faith leaders. They have been faithful in the past. They've done much for which to be commended, but they have also been living through some very, very difficult times. And it seems that some are beginning to wonder if they should just give up on their faith, if they should go back to their old and more accepted religious traditions, their former religions. Because during this era, Christians, especially near Rome, were being persecuted. They were subject to public and vitriolic ridicule. They were victims of torture, imprisonment, and they lost their property, all because they had different ideas from the others around them. And so in Rome, many sects and cults were protected against religious persecution, but not Christians at that time. And so they were becoming disheartened and frustrated. Some had stopped showing up regularly to assemblies. Shouldn't life as a Christian be easier than this? Shouldn't it be safer? Shouldn't it be less controversial? And so in response to this community's struggles, Hebrews offers some age-old and tried and true wisdom to help them start this new chapter in their lives, to rekindle the passion that they had before, and to make a difference not only in their own lives, but in the lives of others around them. So let us read now our scripture reading for this morning. From Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, 15 and 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, and those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this community is struggling. how are they going to move forward? The advice from the writer: make a new day for yourselves by living into your old ways of being and doing. First, he says, basically, show up. Show up. Let mutual love continue. I love this opening verse because it's an affirmation that this group has loved one another well in the past. And in order to maintain their mutual love that they've had for one another, they need to be present. They need to engage with one another, which is a much different thing, as we all know, than being a Facebook friend or an online friend or having a texting relationship. You need to show up and engage. Let mutual love continue. And mutual love is not just about loving those who are nearest to us, our families and our friends in the church pews. We're also to show up for strangers. Do not neglect to show hospitalities to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels. I like the verse that says, angels unawares. Hospitality has been a hallmark of the Christian faith since the time of Abraham and Sarah. If you remember them, they showed extravagant hospitality to three strangers who showed up at their tent. Strangers who turned out to be messengers of God, offering them this unbelievably good news that this barren couple would actually have a child. And Jesus reinforces the teaching and the importance of hospitality. He says, I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me something to drink, naked and you gave me clothing. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, in prison and you visited me. This community is reminded that they are to continue this empathy that they've had in the past and show up for those who are struggling just like they have struggled. They need to remember and to imitate their incredible leaders, those who taught them and modeled the ways of Christ. And while those leaders might come and go, while teachers might come and go, they are reminded that Jesus will always be with them, especially in their moments of struggle. So as I look among you all, I realize I'm preaching to the choir. There is already mutual love in this place. I see it lived out every week. As you show up and engage with one another, as you care for one another, as I see you welcoming the stranger not only into these walls, but as you provide outside these walls for those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, abused, and abandoned, I see you working in all of those ways. And so as a community of faith, you're to be commended for your faithfulness. So it appears we really don't have anything to talk about this morning, do we? But if we're honest, we probably all have ways as we move forward into a new year together in which we struggle or which we could make way for areas of growth and begin a new day together. If we're really honest, we can admit, or I can admit, that sometimes we look at those in our midst who have differing political, theological, or economic opinions, and it's hard to offer mutual love to them, right? And these are just our family and church friends. Yeah. And if we're honest, sometimes we contribute to the polarization that's going on in the world around us by vilifying them, whoever they are, or responding with biting remarks on our social media. Sometimes we spend more time listening to our favorite news channel that agrees with all of our views than reviewing our class notes or truly listening to and engaging with one another as to why maybe we have a differing outlook. Engaging with one another, showing up in mutual love, is hard work sometimes. It's not easy. It's not something sometimes that we can even do on our own. And so when things are challenging, when we need to, as our teachers remind us, we need to ask for help. Ask for help from each other and ask for help from the one who will never leave us or forsake us, who can empower us to push through and find a way to love when sometimes we just want to give up and walk away. And right here and right now is a good place to start. I've spent a lot of time this summer meeting with many of you, learning more about you and your stories and what you love most about Cox Chapel and this community. And across the board, you have said that you love the intimacy of this space and the feeling of community that you get here. It's a place where you are known and where you are called by name. I'm working on that, I promise. That is mutual love. And I agree. I think it's impossible to walk into this space and not be awestruck by the beauty of the Gothic architecture and the stained glass windows and the way in which all of this manages to communicate the splendor and the grandeur and the intimacy of God all at one time. And that combined with the intimacy of this community as you partake in the liturgy and in communion creates mutual love. Everyone I've spoken with said that they loved receiving communion every week. They love being called by name during communion. They love being able to have their children blessed during communion. And while you acknowledge that you love the incredible preachers who have gone before, like Eric Folkerth and Jeff Hall and Victoria Robb Powers, no one said, "I come for the preaching." And there's a reason for that. If you notice, this space is not designed with the pulpit in the center like many Protestant churches are. That's because preaching is not central to this service. It's one element that makes up part of the incredible whole of the worship experience, along with scripture and prayer and song, and especially communion. It's in communion where we experience, I think, most fully mutual love. For it's in communion that we confess our sins before God together, and we ask for and we offer forgiveness to one another as we profess the mystery of faith. And it's here where we are nurtured by the presence of Christ, who gives us nurturing to go into the world to be agents of change, to offer peace. It's here that we most fully experience mutual love. For it's in communion that we are truly one body, not in opinion, but in Christ. And so as we move into a new day together, I don't know what habits you feel as if you need to cultivate to make your life and the lives around you richer and more mutually loving. Maybe you need to show up here more. Maybe you need to read over the notes of the faith more. Maybe you need to get out into the world more. Maybe you're strong on the devotional side of your faith and feeding your soul, but you need help in being empathetic toward those who are suffering. You need help in learning how to show up for others. Hebrew reminds us that it takes all of these tried and true habits and methods combined together that make for a full and rich life of faith and make for a really complete worship experience. So how do we begin this new day and live into our calling in new ways to bring the love and peace of Christ into the world? We're to do it as we have done for centuries. I think that Cox Chapel is this hidden gem of Highland Park United Methodist Church. And my hope for our new day together is that we will continue in mutual love, that those who may not feel welcome in other places in this city and in this world will find a listening ear and a spiritual home here, that those who are seeking rich and full worship experiences may find a home here, and that we as a community of faith, having been nourished in this place, will continue our worship practice as we leave this place outside these walls together in service to others. It is the old ways that will lead us best into a new day. And therefore, as The end of our scripture says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not neglect to do good and share what we have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Amen.